Hallelujah. I do want to touch on the theme, and we'll get to this a little bit. We'll get to the idea of when the Lord sets you free, how do you walk free? We want to talk a little bit about that, because the Lord is doing things where he's accelerating breakthroughs for people. He's helping people offload bondages and things like that. So the very first, I just want to talk about the reason when Jesus came the very first time, what did he come for? And there's just four things I want to talk about. Then we'll get into the other aspect of the word. Everybody just repeat after me. He came to forgive sins.
He came to forgive sins.
That's the big number one. The big number one. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Gabriel showed up and said, you'll name him Jesus, and he will save the people from their sins. John the Baptist saw him coming. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the rescuer of us from sin. The way he does it is he's already put all of the sin upon himself and died in our place. Everybody say substitutionary atonement. Now I'll give you $20 for that. That's a $20 word. But basically it means that Jesus died in your place for you. So that means that there's nothing you can do at all to earn salvation. The entire world is wrong. Every religion is wrong. Only Jesus is right. You can't earn your way to heaven in any regard. Jesus has paid the price, and only he has paid the price. Him alone. It's his heaven. It's his. Jesus is, if you have a problem with that, well, what about all the other people? He loves them too. In fact, there are some amazing things going on right now all over the world where the Lord's giving Muslims dreams and they're coming to the Lord in mass. It's phenomenal. When you leave, when you worship a false god and you go under some kind of a death kind of a thing for a long time, it starts to create a starvation, create a diet inside of you. Like, I got to have something real. Got to have something real. Your heart is made for the love of God. And suddenly when that shows up, so what we want to do is we want to get out of the way and allow the Lord to love through us. Anybody? And when it comes to forgiveness, we're actually told, forgive others the way that you were forgiven. Ooh. Yeah, you don't just get the forgiveness, you become a conduit of it. Jesus came to raise up a people that would be the expression of the Father's love into the culture, that we would also love the way he loved with his help. Jesus actually said, look, I can't do any of this on my own. It's the Father doing it in me. I don't do it on my own. I'm completely, I'm submitted to him completely, and he's flowing his love through me. All the miracles, everything, right? Number two, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Everybody say that. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. I love that verse. It says, and he, went around doing good because of the anointing, because of the power of God was on. He went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for the Lord was with him. He has come to destroy everything. And by the way, in the culture today, there's so many doors people open, aren't there? If you didn't open it, maybe your parents did. But there's ways that things are let down, that where it's like a door's open up and hell has some kind of a legal right to come in and harass the family. And we want to break the power of that. See, that's what's been given to us. He says, I have come to destroy the works of the devil. I've come to destroy those. So there's some keys, and we'll touch on some of those keys in a little bit. So that's number two. Number one was he came to save us from our sins. Number two, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Number three, he came to make Father God known. And that's a big theme here. That's a big theme here in this place. Jesus came to perfectly represent the heart of Father God. Philip said, John 14, he says, Jesus said, have I been with you so long that you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And lastly, we're shown that Jesus came to prepare us for when he comes again. Anybody ready for that? Hallelujah. There's a verse in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. I want to talk just for a little bit about keys and about authority. Keys and authority. How many of you have keys? You know, I got these. Some of these go to the church, some in the house, some in the office. They open up different things. I can open up something you can't because I have a key. You don't have the key, so you can't open it. But I can open it. But you have a key that you can open something that I can't open. Jesus explained that he has keys. And his keys open things. And can shut things. In fact, it's an amazing little story because he's up in Caesarea Philippi. And they're at a place. There's this big rock up there. I found this out. This is crazy. I found out that there was actually the name of the place there. It was called the Gates of Hell. It was a pagan culture where they were camping out. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this revelation of the rock. He says, these keys that I'm going to give you. What was the key? Here was the key. This is an amazing thing. Who do they say that I am? Your revelation of Jesus Christ is a beginning point of a key. And they said, well, some say, you know, John the Baptist, come back. Some say Elijah. Some say whatever, Jeremiah. And they said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter is moved upon by the Holy Spirit, by Father God. And he speaks to him. Get this. You cannot see who God is without God's help. So ask him for help. Help me see you the way you are. It's key. So he asked Peter, suddenly he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, Peter, I perceive, you know, the Lord's Father spoke this to you. He showed this to you. And instantly, this is amazing. This is the most amazing thing. The moment it was revealed to Peter who Jesus, in fact, truly was, at that precise moment, Jesus reveals to Peter who he is. Your revelation of yourself comes via revelation of knowing Jesus. The greater revelation you have of Jesus, the greater revelation that he gives you of who you are to him. And then he releases keys. He says, I'm going to give you keys. And then he says this. He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in the heavens. What in the world? What is he talking about? Well, it's definitely spiritual authority, isn't it? How many of you have had prayed and seen the Lord actually do something where the work of darkness is broken and the power of God comes in and flows? Keys of authority. So I want to jump over this little passage here, just to read this before we go into our communion time. This is Luke chapter 10, verse starting with 17. The 72 returned. Now, what happened is Jesus gave his authority over to 72 disciples that went out two by two into the community, and he gave them authority. His authority came upon them. His authority came upon them. He gave them some instructions. They came back, returned with joy. They were so excited. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, this is invisible people that torment people, invisible entities that torment people. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you, everybody say, authority. I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It could be an ego trip, you know. I remember way back some 30, 35 years ago when the Lord was opening up our understanding and our hearts to what Jesus did. You know, did you know a third of Jesus' ministry was casting out demons? A third. A third of it. When I was growing up in the church, they said, oh, no, all those are in Africa. There's no demons over here. Well, guess what? They moved over. They're all here now. They're here and they're everywhere. I was a precious friend of ours called me up on the phone saying, I need prayer. I need prayer. And I was really tired. I was in the van. And I thought, well, you can come to a meet. You know, I was just trying to get off the phone, you know. And they said, but you don't understand. I've really been tormented. And the moment they said that, I saw, their, in my imagination, I saw their face. And I saw a little gargoyle face next to their shoulder, like on this side. That's a little gargoyle face. I said, oh, you've been being tormented, haven't you? And they said, yeah, the Lord showed it to me. He showed me the spirit. And I said, guess what now? The what? Because I've seen it, it has to leave. And the moment I said that, the power of God went, and the person was completely freed from it. Just left. No more torment. None. Now, this is what I want you all to understand. Anytime anything harasses you, you turn and say, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Don't rely on me. Rely on the authority, the keys that have been given to you. The first key is this. You belong to the, you belong to God Almighty, who has authorized you with the keys. You belong to God Almighty, and He has given you and me the keys in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to show you something. We'll just look at this, and because we'll hasten on to our communion, but watch this. The next verse, 21, in that same hour He rejoiced. Jesus is now rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. He says, I rejoice in the Holy Spirit. He said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. This is time for us to say, show me who you are in my life. Show me all your absolute authority over every area of my life. Help me see. Help me perceive. And then he says, then turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but they did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, he says that he hid this from the wise and understanding. He hid it. People who think they know what's going on, they don't know what's going on. He hid it from them. Who did he reveal it to? To children. He looked at his disciples and they had a childlike trust. Here's your big key, ready? Humility. You and I don't know what's going on most of the time. But somehow the Lord does, and he lets me know. Because I live in a, I don't know what's going on, but you show me. It's lifestyle. How many of you think that's a good lifestyle? I was driving years and years ago, about 40 years ago, I was working in Los Angeles, and I was really curious about how Father God spoke to Jesus. And I had a job as a pest control, you know, kill cockroaches, rats, whatever, you know. And I was driving up Ventura Highway, it was that one. And I was driving up there, and I was in Ventura, and I said, how did you do it? How did you hear from the Father? How did you do this? And it's more common now, but I see more and hear more than I used to now. I don't know why, I guess there's so much need around, you know. But anyway, I saw that the Lord, he showed me something, and I said, basically, that's how he did it with Jesus. He just whispered what happened at the moment. Jesus lived in a constant state of submission to the Father. And whenever he needed something, the Father gave it. He lived in a relationship with the Father. And you and I are called to live in a relationship with the Father. There are moments, aren't there, Jamie, when you don't know what to do. And you look up like that, and you say, help me. Is that right? And what's he do? He helps. How many of you do what Jamie does? You say, I need some help. I need you to let me see what I need to do now. How many of you have gone your own way and just blustered through and tried to do it on your own and pretty much wear yourself out? That's not a key of the kingdom, that you trying to make your way on your own. It's kind of interesting when you begin to die to your way. There's something about the freedom that comes. You have to let go of some things, don't you? How many of you have gone through the wrestling match of letting go? How many of it is an ongoing wrestling match? You're just letting go of you having control and submitting to the Lord in it. But there's such freedom in that, because then the Lord's hand is upon your life. I think it's extremely important, at least to me, to be renewed in the love of Father God almost daily. To have something happen between the two of you where your heart is refreshed, where there's worship of some nature, where there's a refreshing something, your heart is lit up in his presence. Pressures of life will come upon you, and you will run this way and that way and pretty much wear yourself out. Unless you have a regular discipline of stopping, loving him, worshiping him, obeying his word, meditating on it, something of his life, the quality of his love manifesting in you, key, kingdom key. Then when you submit, which we'll get down to in a minute. There's another aspect of submitting to His will and way that's key to walking in the freedom that you've obtained. How many of you have had moments where you really feel like, I am His child? I am His child. Is there a beauty that begins to manifest in your life toward that? That nobody can pluck you out of His hand? Because there's going to be moments where you have warfares come against your mind. There's going to be areas or seasons or days, days of evil, the Bible says. Well, you're going to be under it. You won't feel that good. You won't feel the love. What do you do in that moment? How many of you had moments where you just feel pressured to do something and it's not good? You just feel pressure come against you to act and it's not the Lord. When we walk with that submitted childlike spirit, less of that happens. You can see the difference. You can feel the difference. You're not like under the compulsion of having to work it all out on your own. Here's the probably the clincher to this. If you truly understood that the Lord loves you completely in every area of your life, over all of it, then you would trust Him over all of it. You would trust Him over that bill that's due. You would trust Him over all these issues. Is that right? I want us to begin to get our communion ready and have those who are going to be serving communion set it. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the, when everybody is served, we'll take a little bread first and hold it in our hand till everybody's served. In the book of James, we're told to submit to God, and the devil will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Let's go ahead and begin to hand out the... So if you've gotten some freedom recently, and the Lord gave you an aspect of what by freedom I mean this, where you're kind of stuck. How many of you had places where, you know, you have an attitude that just crops up over and over and over, and it's like a trigger, and you just can't stop doing that thing, whatever it is, you know? He's like, man, I just wish I could stop. And then the Lord says, you want to be free from that, don't you? And somehow He goes in and brings healing to that place in your heart, brings freedom to that place in your soul, and there's a sense of, I don't have to do that anymore. There's a sense of freedom from it, like an oppression, like a lifting of something, a taunting, a harassment. To live in the freedom of that means that you need to continually renew the spirit of your mind. Everybody say this, submit to God. Resist the devil. Does that sound like really hard? It's not that hard, is it? Years ago, I was trapped. I had committed a sin that I was extremely ashamed of. Psalm 32 says, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. And then David starts talking about how there was this fire, this bad stuff shut up inside of him. He was tormented. He didn't have a place where he could share this deeply embarrassing failure. I remember feeling so ashamed of myself. I was bound in shame. I was locked up. I was so fearful. I hated myself. I didn't want to live anymore. Sin can do that to you. Sin can make you where you're so upset with yourself that you want to end it. I was certain that if I told you what I did, you would reject me. That was the lie of the devil. The devil had so lied to me that if I brought it into the light, it would be worse than having it in the dark. But I ended up in the presence of someone who represented Jesus. And they didn't shame me. They let me say it, and they had empathy and sympathy, and they cherished me, and they let the pain of my failure not have any embarrassing effect. They didn't go, oh my God, they didn't do any of that. They didn't react. That was so important to me that I said to the Lord, I will do it this way. I will be a safe place so that people can bring the worst of the worst and feel the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Nobody in my presence, no matter what you've done, will ever walk away feeling shamed. Let's praise the Lord. Because that's what Jesus meant when he said, I've given my body. And when Jesus took it, when Jesus was going to the cross, he was taking our griefs, our sorrows. He wasn't taking his griefs. He wasn't taking his sorrows. The deepest, most grievous thing that you've ever experienced, Jesus put it on his back and he carried it to the cross to break its power over you. That's freedom. He put it in his body. And the miraculous thing about Jesus is that there's no area of the pain of anybody's life that he cannot completely relate to somehow. I have watched him do it over and over and over and over and over. In fact, the Lord felt the pain when you did. When you were violated, he felt the violation. When you were hurt, he felt it. The Lord understands everything that's gone wrong, and it's registered inside of him. And then he brings you into an environment like this. And he says, I have a couple of people that have walked them through the process of forgiving them to the uttermost and to the guttermost. And they'll treat you right with my grace. And so one of the kingdom keys of great freedom is that Jesus took it. Have you ever seen somebody feel like they had to pay for it? They just had to pay for it. They just had to pay for it. That's bondage. There may be some kind of restitution, but the peace of God comes upon that. You can't earn it yourself. So let him do it. Now let's go ahead and allow the Holy Spirit to apply this today. And I want to say this. If you have never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, this is your time. I want you to say, Jesus, I believe in you. Let's all say that now. Jesus, I believe in you. I submit to you. You died in my place. You took my sins upon yourself. I receive your forgiveness. And now in Jesus' name, I receive your wholeness for every broken thing in my life. Let's praise the Lord right now. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus was broken for us. He was broken. He was broken. He was broken to make us whole. Let's lift it up to the Lord. Let me say, Father God, I thank you and speak blessing over every heart, every physical body here, every need in the room. I ask, Lord, by the power of your body, by the power of your grace, that you would release your authority over the need that's represented here. Over the need, that there would be a change. There would be an unlocking of what's bound up. There would be a freedom come. There would be a healing come. In the name of Jesus, let's partake together. Thank you. Years ago, I wrote a little song. It says, oh, the blood of Jesus purifies the weary, sin-sick soul. Let's hold it until all are served. Purifies the weary, sin-sick soul. Oh, the blood that frees us, heals the broken parts, and makes us whole. And the road is getting brighter, and the load is getting lighter, for God has made my heart a fighter to put to death the bondage of my past and to replace it with a freedom that will last. I just want to say, within just a couple of months, you look very different. God has taken many things away and put new things in, hasn't he? Probably have to have you get up here and testify one day. You were put in the express line. Let's praise the Lord together. If you've had Jesus forgive something in your life, let's go ahead and just praise him for a moment. Hallelujah. Most of us are people who shoot our own self in the foot. We just mess our lives up. We don't need a lot of help from other people. We just kind of do it on our own. Just say, thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Now, here's the double whammy. This stuff helps you forgive other people. That's what's in the brew. Inside of this cup is the power to forgive other people the way that Jesus has forgiven you. And that is double-barreled shotgun freedom. Let's worship him for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we anticipate a release of the healing grace of forgiveness flowing into our bodies right now, flowing into our minds, scrubbing away negative thinking, scrubbing away shameful acts, disappointments, things where we haven't felt like we've done what we needed to do. I would just ask all shame be washed away now in Jesus' name. Let's receive it. Hallelujah. Everybody there, let's go ahead and stand together. We have a few people that'll be down here in front if you need some follow-up prayer. If you're opening your heart to the Lord for the first time today, we would like to give you some materials to help you in your walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, to come and see me if you're it's about salvation. Hallelujah. What a good day. Praise the Lord. Can we just one more time just lift our hearts to the Lord? And Father, I just ask, make the crooked places straight. Make the areas of difficulty soothe the hearts. Establish the way. Bring your blessing and overtake us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.